the supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day He appointed for a rising. To Thee belongs praise, for Thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst Thou willed, Thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to Thee belongs praise, for Thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate Thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for Thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to Thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to Thee, to be joyful in worshipping Thee, to be desirous of Thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me Thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom Thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for joining us on today's special.
Ah!
Today, Tuesday, is the 22nd of Jamadi Uthani, 1442, of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of Bahman, 1399, of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 9th of February, 2021, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For this episode of today's special, we choose chapter Yunus, verse 108, 108, for listening and learn more about it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل يا أيها الناس قد جاءكم الحق من ربكم فمن اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه ومن ضل فإنما يضل عليها وما أنا عليكم بوكيل.
Say, O mankind, the truth has come to you from your Lord. So whoever is guided is only guided for the benefit of his soul, and whoever goes astray only goes astray in violation against it. And I am not over you a manager.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, is instructed to say that he is not people's agent. He does not act on their behalf as an advocate, nor is he their guardian. That is, neither is he commissioned to force them to accept the truth, nor could he save them from the divine punishment in case they did not accept the truth. His duty is to call them to Islam, to bring Allah's message to them, to guide them on the straight path, to lead them, and to serve them as their leader.
In the month of Bahman, the month of Islamic Revolution, be with today's special.
The Fundamentals of Iran's Islamic Revolution is the title of this part. The Islamic Revolution is based on the timeless worldview of Islam. One of the prominent features of the revolution in Iran is that it is Islam which is the primary force for building a revolutionary culture that dominates Iran today and continues its developmental task. Concepts such as jihad or striving sincerely in the way of God and the glories of martyrdom, coupled with piety, solidarity of the masses, adherence to humanitarian values, and hatred of oppression, are the salient features of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. The most glaring difference between the Islamic Revolution in Iran and the revolutions that have occurred in other places in the course of history, as well as in modern times, is the factor of God-oriented leadership that was manifested by Imam Khomeini. The late Imam practices what he believed, and to be more precise, he lived according to the letter and spirit of the egalitarian laws of Islam. This is the secret of success of the Islamic Republic of Iran, which today is led by a loyal discipline of the late Imam Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. We find that in many nations in the world, I mean, especially in the neighboring countries, the Islamic movements that have been successful and in certain countries where Muslims have got to power, they've been inspired by the Islamic Revolution of Iran as initiated and guided and directed by Imam Khomeini. Not only the ex-Pahlavi royal dynasty have been removed, the members of the ex-Pahlavi royal dynasty have been removed from the history and political context of the Iranian nation, but also and there have been some local governors, I mean, in the whole Iranian nation, I mean, in the form of some powerful people who ruled in villages and small cities. They also, they've also been diminished with the disappearance of the royal dynasty in Iran. And we find that this kind of mass movement in the cause of the Islamic Revolution of Iran made the people encouraged, it encouraged people to raise their voice and say down to this Pahlavi dynasty. Now we find that it was regarded by Imam Khomeini as a divine practice, that if people rise up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the supporters of all these people, because all of them wanted to come to the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate being, and all activities should be directed to and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that it has been this spirit that after the Islamic Revolution of Iran, we find that shortly after the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, some local unrests appeared, whether in northern Iran, in western Iran, in southwestern Iran, in some eastern parts of Iran. We find that some short-lived political unrests appeared and emerged. However, it has been the spirit that Imam Khomeini's movement gave to people, that people were able to answer those agitations.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Bahman presents today's special.
Imam Khomeini's political thought. We have a short part on Imam Khomeini's arguments on the alliance between religion and politics. Rituals in Islam are identical with political issues. The Friday prayers and Hajj pilgrimage, which are two important rituals and are indeed politically significant for an Islamic society, Imam Khomeini says, it is for an Imam of Friday prayer to talk about the religious and worldly interests of the Muslim during his Friday prayer sermons and inform them of condition of Muslims in other countries and bring to their notice their interests as well. He should talk to them about their religious and worldly requirements, refer to economic and political issues, inform them of their relations with other countries, and elaborate on the interference of colonial powers in their countries. This is a story from the life of Imam Khomeini, under the title, You Are Going Towards the Mercy of Allah. One of the students of Imam Khomeini relates, Imam greatly stressed the secret of prayers. I particularly remember that he paid great attention to the book Manners of Prayers and used to say, it is better if we say or call it Secrets of Prayers. Imam paid attention to the inner meaning of praying from the beginning of performing wudu, that is, from the time when a person goes towards water to perform wudu, ablution, until the end of prayers. He used to say this tradition many times, that one of the imams had said, when you go towards water to perform ablution, wudu, you are really going towards the mercy of Allah. Imam used to emphasize this statement a lot.
Staying in touch with the leadership, you find there are so many, there were some people who were so good, but they got disconnected from the leadership, and now you find, where do they belong? Because they lost their connection with the walayat. Connection with walayat is just like ittisal bil kur. You know, you keep getting corrected, you keep getting the lutf and barakat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you are connected with the leadership. And second of all, what I would like to say, what the great shaheed in our Middle East has said, نَحْنُ عَلَىٰ خَطِّ إِمَامِنَا الْخُمَيْنِي نُؤْمِن بِالْقَاعِدَةِ الَّتِي سَنَّهَا هَذَا الْإِمَامِ اُقْتُلُونَا فَإِنَّ شَعْبَنَا سَيَعِي أَكْثَرَ فَأَكْثَرَ. We, on the path of our Imam, say and believe in the principle that he has settled and established, that kill us, and we, our people, our community, our ummah will become more and more aware. Keep on being a supporter of the walayat of Faqih. There is no harm coming in the way of the Islamic government. Part of Ahlul Bayt and the walayat is a part of sacrifice. Get ready for the sacrifice. I will end my speech on the dua. You know, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
I invite you to listen to the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Till then, have a nice time.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and let us contemplate upon the words of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, regarding the prime position after him of his divinely designated heir, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. The love of Ali is a virtue which no sin can undermine, and his enmity is a vice with which no virtue is of any benefit.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading and your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. We have reached the fifth section of the Hadith of Hisham ibn Hakam in the context of the intellect. And during these sections, in the beginning sections, Imam Kadhim alayhi salam has been mentioning certain verses of the Holy Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invites us as individuals to either think about the signs. He, you know, gives us admonishments to use our intellect to think about the hereafter and to think about this world. And in this section, the Imam brings two verses of the Holy Quran, one from Surah Saffat and another one from Surah Ankabut, to show us that if we don't use our intellects, there is a great, you know, punishment or a great threat that is waiting for us. So the Imam says to Hisham, he says, "Oh Hisham, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also frightened or threatened those who do not use their intellect by warning them of his punishment." So yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Imam in the beginning says, that Allah has given people the ability to understand the proofs by means of this intellect. If they do not use this intellect, obviously they will not understand those proofs, and it's very possible they will go against it, and therefore go against the will and the want of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first verse that Imam brings again from Surah As-Saffat, verse number 136 to 138, the Imam says then, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Then after delivering Lut and his family, we destroyed all the others. And you, O Quraysh, passed them by, or rather what is left of their civilization, morning and night. Why do then you not use your intellect? So ponder upon what happened to people before you. Look at what happened to them and why it happened to them. And if you don't use your intellect, the same is going to happen to you. In the second verse, the Imam says that the angels told Lut, "We are going to send down upon the people of this city a punishment from the sky because of their habitual transgressions." Now, obviously, we know the people of Lut, what transgression they had. And they were warned, and then the punishment came to them. And then the ayah continued again from Surah Al-Ankabut, the 29th Surah, verses number 34 and 35. "And when we punished them, we left a manifest sign in the ruins of their city for people who use their intellect." So in this section, the Imam is telling Hisham, take lessons from people who were destroyed before you. For if you do not use your intellect, you will be just like those individuals. You will, may face the punishment like them in this world and in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to use our intellect in order to take lessons of those who came before us, to make our lives better and more prosperous. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure.
His humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
The ocean of dua.
أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance, and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. With regard to change in Almighty Allah's decree in creation, dear listeners, we have explained a little bit, and we try to define the term bada by having a look at the traditions and narrations. We have numerous narrations in this regard, and we read to you some of them in the previous program. We concluded that bada is a change in the course of events in the universe and history, but it is in accordance with the irada and will of the Almighty Allah, and it does not imply the suspension of the law of causality. It does not contrast, or it doesn't nullify this law. But as we explained earlier, the irada and the will of the Almighty Allah overrides this law of causality by itself, which I assume does not need any further explanations. We also said that as the Holy Quran suggests, يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتُ, Allah effaces and confirms whatever He wishes, and this bada is the very same thing. Mahw and ithbat, obliteration and affirmation.
Alhamdulillahi khaliq al-khalq, basit al-rizq, faliq al-asbah, dhil jalal wal-ikram, والفضل والإنعام الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى.
Almighty Allah establishes whatever He desires from this universe, which is operative by His command but based on the law of causation, and after that He can obliterate from this universal system whatever He wishes. For example, the natural course of causes may require a person to die of a particular illness. So he has a deathly illness, and the Almighty Allah may confirm it, and accordingly the course of causes would lead to the death of this person, but by the Almighty Allah's will and command. Or he may efface it if he wishes. Hence, he subhanahu wa ta'ala would pave the way for his well-being through its specified means. And consequently, the phenomenon of obliteration or mahw would come to transpire in the universe. But with regard to the mother of the book, there does not occur any obliteration or change in it, as it is not possible that Allah would come to know of something He was initially unaware of, as was suggested by the previous traditions and narrations we read to you in the previous program. So where does obliteration occur? Obliteration occurs in the world of creation, which is functioning based on the system of cause and effect, according to the divine wisdom and mercy. So, when the wisdom and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala necessitates a change in the course of events in the universe or society or anywhere, He subhanahu wa ta'ala would prepare for this change its specified means. And this means that He is reigning, the will of the Almighty Allah is reigning over this system, but by itself, by the law of causality. That's why He prepares for this change its specified means, and then effaces what was to transpire in the universe or society based on the law of causation. But the will of Allah changes this. This system is actually subject to the command of Almighty Allah, both at times of obliteration and affirmation, and the power of Allah is enforced within it.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, "Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad." Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti ab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju tishnagi abar bedas. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad abaz bala bakas. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah. Now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever.
The ocean of dua.
So, if Almighty Allah confirms something in it, it will come to take place by His will and order. And if He subhanahu wa ta'ala alters and effaces it, it shall change by His command and power. So, when a person has a specific illness and is suffering from that illness, the Almighty Allah may confirm it, or He may efface it. He may efface that illness. But if He confirms it, and even if He effaces it, both of these things are happening within the law of causality. That's why the Almighty Allah prepares the means, the asbab for the change. If He dies from this illness, it is from its causes. And if He gets better, and if he recovers from that illness, it is by the Almighty Allah's will. But it does not change something in the mother of the book. In Lawhun Mahfuz, it was clearly somehow written that this person would get better or would die. And dua does not change something within this mother of the book or the so-called Lawhun Mahfuz. Thank you for staying with us, dear listeners, in this program as well. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say I am a Muslim. If you ask her why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Talk about the laws of copyright according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching Makassas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said, up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahth al-Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahth al-Kharij, he started Bahth al-Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Sheikh Javed, you know, we talked about some of the questions and you shed some light on the answers to those questions regarding the copyrights. I'm going to ask you about computer stuff, such as copies of computer disks. Is it permissible, according to jurisprudence, to make copies of computer disks? And if we assume that is unlawful and haram,
yes,
is this confined to, let's say, disks or products, computer products, which are produced in the Islamic Republic, for example, of Iran? Or does this ruling and jurisprudential law extend this much and go beyond that to cover imported discs as well? All right?
Yes.
Especially when we know that the prices of such discs are very high because they are very much important.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As we discussed this in one of the previous episodes,
yes,
Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwa does not confine the copyright law to the materials and products produced in Iran, in the Islamic Republic of Iran. The imported discs also, the imported software also, and the, let's say, the imported CDs also are subject to the copyright, and also the same fatwa applies to those imported discs also. As I said clearly, that Ayatollah Khamenei actually exercises precaution. He says it is a caution to respect the rights of the owners by seeking their permission to make copies of the computer discs actually produced in Iran or maybe produced elsewhere, as long as they are copyrighted. Of course, there was one point also added in the beginning that, okay, if there's an agreement between the two countries, okay, between, let's say, Iran and another country, and that agreement has to be acted upon, and of course, people and the government has to protect and follow that agreement and abide by that agreement. If there is one such agreement between two countries, okay, CDs which are, let's say, imported, or let's say discs which are imported from another country,
yes,
it could be actually, there could be an agreement between the two countries. So that agreement has to be looked at, and it should be adhered to. Depending on the agreement, people should actually adhere to it and follow it as it requires.
I see. Okay, how about trademarks? We all know that there are some logos and trademarks that belong to any specific company or even supermarkets. And do these, in fact, only limited to or belong only to the owners of those companies and supermarkets, so much so that others cannot have the right to use the same trademark or logo for their businesses. To give an example,
yes.
Suppose that a person owns the business bearing the name of the family. Yeah. And most of these types of companies, as we know, in fact, are somehow family related.
Yes.
When they establish, for example, or open up shop or supermarket, they think of such trademarks or logos for themselves or for the whole family.
Yes.
There are lots of examples for this. And is it permissible for another member of the same family,
yes,
in fact, to take advantage of such names or such trademarks? And also, is it permissible for another person who does not belong to the same family to trade under the same name?
Well, if the government, according to the ongoing laws, or maybe the established laws, the laws which are in place, gives the trademarks to someone who requested it earlier,
yes,
then the other people, of course, and the trademark is registered in his name, then it is not permissible for others, including the family members of a person who acquired that trademark, to use it without the permission of its owner, okay? Because the trademark, according to the law, to the established law, belongs to a specific person. Probably that individual has paid money to the government. He has paid money to a government institute for getting that that trademark. And of course, sometimes it's very much time consuming for a person who is in the trade, who is in the commerce, or who is in business, to get a special logo or a special trademark. And it's not easy. It's not something that you can make it without the permission and without the license of the government. You have to get get the trademarks from the government, and it should be an approved trademark. Otherwise, you will not be able, and you will not be allowed by the government to run your business. So other family members, to make it to summarize, other family members cannot use that trademark without the consent and permission of that original the buyer of the trademark, or the person to whom the trademark belongs.
And what about the person who doesn't belong to the same family?
Of course, they have no right. Those who have no right, because the trademark is used in the name of a specific individual, a specific, let's say, company, and people. The example is, let's say, the example we have in for example, in Qom, one of the cities of the Islamic Republic of Iran, different stores and Suhan producing companies are there.
Yes.
So there are different names, and one of the names is very popular. People who see that name, they buy the product without asking any question, thinking that it is. So other people who want to, for example, to launch the same business, cannot use the same name to sell their products.
Yes.
Because of the good reputation that company has established, that cannot misuse or start their business using the same title, the same name. Otherwise, for example, the original company will sustain losses and suffer, let's say,
economic
crisis, yes, at the end of the day.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Al-Ali al-Azim, Subhanallah. what if they another person, another third person, takes the trademark and do a little or a slight change to it and alter it one way or another, and then trade under the same trademark but changed version? Mm-hmm. Is that still permissible? To be inspired by that trademark, the original yes. trademark, and change it to something that you like, and then change the name and trade under that name and trademark.
Well, the name, when the name is changed, then it means it's a different thing, okay?
But they are inspired by the same, the logo of the trademark.
Maybe they are inspired. In today's world, different people are inspired by different other people.
Yes.
And to be inspired does not mean that you have done something wrong, okay? You are, for example, acquiring education. You are inspired by someone, by your roommate or by your teacher or someone. Yes. That doesn't mean you have not done anything. You are just misusing someone else's, let's say, product or someone else's property, intellectual property. So if there's a change of name or logo or something, then that doesn't mean that since he has been inspired that he's misusing it, or he's actually not respecting the copyright law or whatever.
Mm, thank
so
you very
it
much.
Is actually permissible.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. That was the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for listening to us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Rahmanun Rahimun Mannanun Kareemun Salamun Aleemun La ilaha illa hum Ghaffarun Jameelun Wahhabun Latifun Tawwabun Samiun Basir
from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allah ya Allah subhanallah. Allah ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allah wa la ilaha illa
This is a part of a speech delivered on January 16th, 1980, by the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, Ayatollah Khomeini. Subject, Most Superior Migration from Carnal Desires. The migration from the abode of nature is likely to be from the self. The abode might be the abode of man's self. That is the nature, that is the abode of the self that is imprisoned in it. The noble Quranic verse might mean that one who departs from this abode of self might turn to Allah and His Messenger. It might be departure from things that urge men to have regard for the world and worldly ideals inhibiting men from reaching Allah and the truth of the attachments men have to the world.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We were talking about the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini. As we know that he is a person who brought this Islamic revolution, and we are celebrating the victory anniversary of the Islamic revolution, we know that in regards to the politics and religion, he had a viewpoint in which he said, it is said by the Prophet as well, that there is no difference between the politics and religion. The politics is the part of religion. Now, why he was very much emphasizing on the politics being the part of the religion is because religion itself talks about justice. And when we talk about justice, we can see this aspect apparently in the life of Imam Khomeini. Being the leader, being the jurisprudent, being the a mystic, being a scholar, he was just, and he was following a system that has justice. And that's what he wanted to bring in this country, in this state. When he was talking about the Islamic revolution, this revolution is not specified, or it's not limited to the Iranian nation. It's not limited to the boundaries of Iran. It's a universal revolution. It can happen anywhere. Why? Because this revolution has justice in it. And the concept of justice, which being a Shia, he had believed in his belief, it was that Allah is just. Allah is just. And Allah also has promised in the Quran that he will send the last successor. He will send a successor who will bring the justice in the world. And that is Imam Mahdi. So Imam Khomeini had this belief that this system of justice should be applied in the societies. And the day we are successful in applying the system of justice in the societies, the Imam of the time, the infallible Imam, the leader of the time, will reappear. The Imam Mahdi will reappear.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Hello and welcome back to the light. A Canadian man has made art by drawing magnificent geometric shapes on snow-covered fields and frozen lakes. Kim Asmussen first draws a sketch with the help of designing software. Then he puts on his snowshoes to stomp around and make squares, circles and triangulars, among others. Asmussen says 15